Hi, my name is Rita, and I have a new life in Christ. I struggle with depression, an addictive personality, and evidently control. Hi. Would y'all pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing me to this place in my life, to Watermark, to regeneration, to this stage. I know I'm not good at this, so I'm trusting that you will speak truth through me, that I will share your story as it has unfolded through my life in a way that someone will hear and find hope and strength they need to seek and trust you. Thank you for my past and current struggles and for the opportunities you have given me to share your amazing grace. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Growing up, my family did not put the fun in dysfunctional. We did define chaos, fear, shame, confusion, and darkness. We had things, so most people thought we had it made. However, both of my parents were alcoholics. I never knew what was going to happen from one minute to the next, fighting, screaming, crying, arguing, total chaos. I learned at a very early age to isolate and disappear into reading or watching TV. Everything was a secret. Nothing was ever discussed. My mother would disappear for days, weeks, or months. My father worked from 4 a.m. till very late. We never sat down to meals. We had a lot of TV dinners and hamburgers. My sister and I sometimes went to church with my aunt and uncle. All I remember hearing was that if I didn't come forward and accept Christ, I was going to burn in hell. Can't tell you how many times I went forward. I didn't want to burn in hell. I was baptized about 6 times. The end. No one ever talked about having a personal relationship with Christ or what you do from there. Nothing ever changed. I physically matured at 13, so boys magically appeared. I had no idea what to do with that and no one to ask. My older sister and cousins thought it was funny to teach me to smoke at 11 and drink at 14. My first time drinking, I had a blackout. I went out with an 18-year-old when I was 14, and it turned into a date rape. Still having no one to talk to, I kept it a secret. More shame and confusion. At 16, I became a totally different person. No more hiding. I became the loudest, most obnoxious person around and took control of everything, especially sex. I learned how to use it and flaunt it. I quit school, got my GED, and began 5 years of drinking, running the streets, and inappropriate relationships with men. I stole money and alcohol from my parents. Many times I should have died, driving during blackouts, using drugs, and many other risky behaviors. At 21, I joined the Navy to get into something I couldn't just walk away from. God was looking out for me even then. The structure and rules, as well as not having to stay in one place too long, were just what I needed. However, I still thought I was in control, and some of my behaviors continued to work in my favor. Most nights, I could drink everyone under the table. The problem was, most days, I couldn't remember it. Darkness. Around 31, I finally decided my control was just an illusion. I was extremely miserable, and my chaos, fear, shame, and confusion were in full force internally. But I never let anyone see. Kept it dark. I saw peace and something I couldn't define but wanted in one of my bosses. Light. I told him I didn't want to talk. Could he just give me something to read? Amazingly, he handed me a small pamphlet and said, let him know if I had any questions. It was the 4 spiritual laws. I read and followed it that night. God loves me, John 3:16. I'm a sinner, Romans 3:23. Jesus died for my sins, Romans 5:8. And I have to choose to receive him as my Savior and Lord, John 1:12. Immediately, I felt a physical load lifted from my shoulders, light. I was so amazed, I couldn't wait to share with my boss and get more information. We talked about what having a relationship with God meant and looked like. I transferred to Memphis and found a singles ministry. I would love to say everything went smoothly from there. However, my control arose. A man I had known for 6 years, who was going to quit drinking and going to become a Christian, asked me to marry him. My group warned me about being unequally yoked, but I knew more than they did. I felt God had brought him to me at this time. I ended up getting pregnant before the wedding. We got married. I went into labor at 23 weeks, stayed in the hospital in Memphis, flat on my back for 4 weeks, was medically evacuated to Biloxi, Mississippi, where 2 weeks later I gave birth to my son 3 months early. My husband was in New Orleans, so I had to go through all of this alone. I had to leave my son in that hospital and go back to work in New Orleans, about 2 hours away. So almost every big life change happened to me in 6 months. Marriage, difficult pregnancy, childbirth, not knowing if my son would even survive the first year, new job, new city, no friends, 2 stepkids in the home. My son and I survived only through God's grace. My marriage did not survive. My son and I moved to Dallas, where he continued having problems. I had to retire from the Navy after 22 years because he needed me and I had no help. I became a teacher so I could be available for him. We were always involved in church, and I searched for godly men to lead him, with no success. His behaviors continually worsened until he was abandoned by everyone: his father, school, church, my family. I was his only constant. 2 Corinthians 12:7 talks about Paul having a thorn in his side and begging God 3 times to remove it. 3 times God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God has used this many times to remind me that life isn't always easy, but his grace is enough to see me through. He wants me to trust him. At 16, we finally discovered his behaviors were related to a head injury he suffered when he was 4. At 18, angry that God and I hadn't fixed his problems, he walked away from us. I had been doing everything by myself for so long, I crumbled. In 2010, I became so sick I had to take early retirement from teaching. I could barely get out of bed, and I couldn't function. I felt God had left me. I went to bed for 5 years. I didn't get up hardly ever except to go to the doctor, and they just kept throwing pills at me with no relief. I was totally isolated. My son lived with me, but he didn't like me, and he drank all the time. What was there to like? I was just existing, nothing but sleeping, reading, watching TV, and darkness. I had come full circle. In 2015, my cousin, think sister, died from cancer. I fell apart again. A woman I had worked with, Holly, her and her husband are here tonight, invited me to attend Grief Share. I committed to 1.5 hours a week. I used a walker and still had no strength to walk into the church. I felt useless, but I made it, and God started something inside me. Holly had tried for years to get me to come to Watermark, so in October 2015, I finally came. God spoke right to my heart. What an amazing feeling. Lightness. I signed up for membership classes and joined a community group, but membership requires that you serve in the church. I struggled to get out of bed for 3 hours a week, couldn't walk from the living room to the bathroom without help, or without falling and breaking bones, and I felt totally helpless and useless, not to mention depressed. What could I possibly offer this church full of so many young people? They asked if I'd be willing to do audiovisual for K-1 race. So out of my comfort zone. But I agreed. It took about 5 months for me to become a member, but I am so grateful Watermark has these requirements for membership, because I never would have done any of these things that have so blessed me. I am beyond blessed that God sent Holly and that Holly obeyed and never gave up on me. She introduced me to a Bible study and to regeneration. I came to Regen very reluctantly. My last 2 years in the Navy, I was a drug and alcohol counselor. I had been to every 12-step program in existence. All of my college papers were on drug and alcohol abuse. I considered myself an expert on the topic and on 12-step programs. I fought the program for months. They weren't doing it right. But for some reason, I kept coming. Finally, during step 3, trust, it hit me. I thought I trusted God, but he revealed what that really means. It's not just trusting him with the big picture. It's about trusting him in all the little everyday things as well. The book asked me, who do I say that Jesus is? My answer was, he is the Son of God. He is God. He willingly suffered humiliation, ridicule, beatings, rejection, treason, unspeakable pain, torture, and a horrible, painful death for me. He didn't complain. He could have invoked his power as God at any time, but he didn't. In fact, he asked his Father to forgive those who nailed him to the cross. He suffered these things so I would know he understands what I'm going through and so that my sins could be forgiven. Do I deserve better than him? He wants me to find ways to willingly serve him and others despite my limitations. There are still things I can do, just not the way I see it in my head. He wants me to trust him where I am. Why was I trying to control this program? How had my way been working for me? It hadn't. I finally understood. I didn't have to trust the people of the program. I just had to trust him. He would walk through this with me and teach me what I needed to know. More light. So I chose to trust God's recovery plan, wherever that led. I had to apologize to my group, who is here tonight, for my attitude up to this point and for my lack of trust. They offered grace. I committed to our group in a renewed effort. I promised God that I would go wherever he wanted and I would do the work if he would get me out of bed and give me the strength. I missed a few weeks, but not many. I must confess I didn't make it easy for him. I have argued with him a lot, but he has never given up on me, and he continues to win the battles. Just when I felt comfortable that I had it all figured out, I got to step 4, inventory. I thought this was going to be a breeze. After all, I'd been to all the 12-step programs and had been a drug and alcohol counselor. I'd already done my inventory, so I expected no surprises. Yeah, right. I filled the inventory book up and more. I am so grateful for the worksheets Regen provides. They really helped me dig deep and find all my dark corners. I didn't think I had fears, but I did fear things like rejection, being alone for the rest of my life, losing my health, being able to take care of myself. I saw where many of those fears had become self-fulfilling prophecies. Once they were brought into the light, I could give them to God and let them go. Then resentments just came out of the woodwork. Putting them in writing and dissecting them was quite the experience, but it did take away a lot of the sting. Harms by me and the sexual inventory were probably the most painful because they were my bad. It's so much easier to focus on what others did to me. My adult life had been spent as a hospital corpsman in the Navy, a drug and alcohol counselor, a teacher, a mother, all helper roles. So I had a hard time accepting that I had harmed others. My behaviors were all justified. But there it was in black and white. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The book asked how I felt knowing that before I was even born, God saw my inventory and sent Jesus to die for me anyway. It amazed me that God can just watch my mistakes, not intervene, not say I told you so, and still love me unconditionally and forgive me when I confess and ask him to. When Regen was almost over, my depression and severe physical pain spiked, and between the physical, emotional, and mental struggles, I wasn't sure I could reach the finish line. But because of God's faithfulness, I did. Then I wanted to volunteer, but wasn't sure how useful or consistent I could be because of my health. Could I be depended on to be here every week? Finally realized no one can guarantee they could be here every week. All I could do was pray, commit, and trust God to get me here. I enrolled in health classes at the VA and began volunteering in Regen around March 2017. God has been so faithful. I have been here every week except one. I have continued to grow and learn about myself and God from leaders and participants. I have also been able to participate in the Women's Bible Study and Equip Disciple, where I am learning even more. I volunteer to co-facilitate a health coaching group at the VA every week, and since I'm just a volunteer, I get to share how Jesus has helped me. I am in a community group with women who have supported me through all of this. I know God brought us together just when we needed each other. Having been in the Navy with mostly men, I wasn't very adept at talking to women. Some days I'm still not. But we are growing. It hasn't been easy. However, we are persisting in our efforts to love and support each other, to ask for, receive, and offer grace and forgiveness when necessary, learning to deal with conflict biblically. Romans 5:3 says, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." So God is developing our character and hope. Praise God, I haven't used my walker in 10 months. Not going to run a marathon anytime soon, but I can walk around church and go shopping without assistance. I even got to go on a Girls Just Want to Have Jesus fun cruise with 40 ladies from church and walked all over the ship. I get to babysit Holly and Patrick's two young children, and they even trust me to take them places. They have adopted me as their Mama Rita. It is the most amazing feeling when they squeal and come running and give me a hug when they see me. They are a lot in my life. I am now out of my house almost every day. I have learned to pace myself, stop when I need to, get rest when I need to, and trust God to reveal when I need to. My dream for when I retired was to become a professional volunteer. In step two, it asked, "What would it look like for you to be restored?" My answer was, I would be able to go and do things to help others. I would be in God's Word and comprehending what He wants me to know. I would feel joy and peace in all circumstances. I would be communicating with God all day, and I would have many songs in my head. I recently realized I am now living all of my dreams. And from the time I wake up until I go to bed, God has songs of praise going through my head. Step 11, intimacy, says we seek to deepen our relationship with God daily and depend on His power to do His will. This has truly been a blessing through all of my issues. Not only am I doing the Bible studies, I am reading and highlighting my Bible every day, journaling what God wants me to know, and memorizing 2 to 3 scripture verses every week. John 15:7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." I may not get exactly what I envisioned, but I definitely get what I need. Someone told me the other day that they didn't need to read the Bible or study the Bible because they knew what it said and how it ended. What I'm learning is that the Bible is a living, breathing document. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The Bible is true, and it doesn't change. However, what God wants me to learn today isn't what I needed to learn 10 years ago. He clarifies it for different life stages. My current journey began 2 years ago with 1.5 hours a week, and what a journey it has been. I am now prepared for this to be a lifelong journey. I will not reach the finish line until I arrive in heaven, and I'm good with that. God has shown me that He is not finished with me. I do still have a purpose. I am useful. I just have to put my trust in Him. Through it all, God has shown me that He never left me or gave up on me. I gave up on Him. I learned that He protected my son, who survived, so that now at 31, he can thrive. I know I've made it sound like I am totally fixed and no longer struggle. Nothing could be further from the truth. I still struggle with depression, resentment, fear, isolation, insecurity, addictions, control. Fortunately, it's more sporadic and not all at the same time anymore. I still have severe pain 24 hours a day and struggle to get out of bed. I still have extreme exhaustion every day. I still can't physically do all the things I want to do. The difference is I now have the tools to help me make it through these struggles, and I can trust God to be faithful when I pick them up. His grace truly is sufficient. He has shown me how to change my expectations, change my attitude, and He carries me when I don't have the strength to do it myself. My job is to focus on Him, trust, and obey. If you are new to Regen, welcome. This is the first step to a whole new life. I encourage to look at it as your journey to know yourself, but mostly to grow in your intimacy with Christ and allow God to turn your darkness into light. This is an opportunity to expose your secrets and be healed. He has definitely turned my darkness into light. In Mark 4:21-23, Jesus said, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. All of my secrets have now been brought into God's light. My name is Rita. I have an amazing new life in Christ. And I am now gratefully living my dream and my purpose, which have totally aligned through Christ." Thank y'all for listening to me.